Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Potty with Serene and Pearl. Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Trim, healthy mamas and papas. It's producer John here, filling in for Danny, who is probably hanging out with Sean Hannity or Michael Jordan or whoever.
All the famous, more famous people than
Jackie the book, Chan. Nonetheless, we're glad you're here, and by the looks of things, it looks like Serene has a very well-prepared talk ready for all of us. So take it away.
John. Thank you, John. That was ever so grand.
He was being sarcastic. He totally was. I actually have been quite busy. Yesterday, I'm not hanging out with Sean Hannity, but
hey, we do have to say Danny will be back. He missed you guys, but he does have people paying him more bucks. Yeah. So you know
he'll be back
for the money.
He's our friend. No, but I actually went wedding dress shopping yesterday, and so I'm very ill prepared today.
Yeah, that was
with my daughter Chalice.
Yeah,
she's getting married in the 3 month mark.
Yeah,
and anyway, so I have. Pearl said, you got any ideas? Because Pearl's still busy finalizing this new book, Trim Healthy Future. And so, and I was just like little Miss Naughty out in the town with dresses and everything yesterday. So I said, I don't have a steak, but I maybe have a meatball and a half to bring.
Yeah, so you've got a meatball and a half worth of meat. I think that's good. Meatballs are yummy.
It's a snack, a snackaroo.
Sometimes that's all you want in the day, a snack. Let's bring it, Serene. Okay. Do you want light on? Because how can you see your little snack book?
No, I'm not preparing all of our pasamos that always, when I bring meat.
They start with the scripture.
No, it's not actually starting.
By now they should be used to it.
It's not actually starting with it because I was trained by Pearl to ease it in slowly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Sneak the scriptures
in. The meat always has a little scrippy in, okay? A little bit of the script. Have you ever considered, Pearl?
Yeah.
That you are not just Pearl, that you are a door.
I'm a door.
Yeah.
I haven't considered that.
A pearl-shaped door.
Okay.
And there over there we have a Leslie-shaped door. Very pretty. And I'm a Serene-sized door. And there is John Gusty over there, and he's a copper-decorated door. But he's a door. Maybe you want to be a gate instead. Cool, you can be a gate instead. But I have been musing.
But we open. Is that where you're going to?
Just wait.
Oh, right.
You can interrupt once I open the idea. I'll be musing on the fact that our lives are not just walls. Like our bodies are not fused with flesh with no door or entrance. And I'm just not saying we don't have a nose, nostrils or earlobes or a mouth. I'm not talking about a physical entrance. But I'm talking about a spiritual door. To health and life or death and darkness. We all are doors. We're not just a wall. We all have a door on us. And we all open up to something.
Oh, yes. Got it.
And you might think, nah, I'm a closed door. I don't have to open up to anything. I'm just going to be a closed door, just me and my life. But none of us ever can be a closed door. We can't just be a wall. We all are a door because we might close ourselves off to something, but that just opens wider for something else.
Yeah.
We're always a door. We were created to be doors, to open up to life and love, to open up to health and joy, to open up to healing and forgiveness and peace. And now I'm putting my personal spin on the whole thing, and it's where the scrippies come in, to open up to a savior. We're all created to be a door. And so the Bible says we're a door. It says in Revelation 3:20 that he knocks on our door. So we're a door.
Bringing it, Serene.
Yeah.
You're bringing it for me today.
It says if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. Anyway, continuing, I actually got this idea the other day. I actually read it on the good old Hilltop Church Bell. Remember that verse I read out? Because I'm thinking about this, you see. Yeah. It's been on my, it's on my mind. And I know that the scripture I'm about to bring, Psalms 24:7-9, isn't really applicable to what I'm talking about, right? It's really talking about the New Jerusalem and, and the gates opening up and everything. It's a lot more of a deeper thing. But I believe the word is living and God can reveal
things. There's layers. To us. There's layers of layers. Truths, you know.
Okay. And I just want to quickly read it to you because it's just, it was just amazing. It just inspired me. It says, so wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he's about to come through you. You ask, who is this glory king? The Lord armed and ready for battle, the mighty one, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of Victory, armed and ready for battle. The mighty one, the invincible commander of heaven's hosts. Yes, he is the King of Glory. And I've been thinking about that, and I'm thinking, man, I want to fling wide. I want to be this door. I want to be an ancient door of destiny. And I want to usher Jesus through me to come to earth. That's just my own personal thing about it. But you all can be doors because you all are doors. And we're going to continue about that. But I want to wake up and realize I am a living gateway. And Pearl, you can interrupt because I've opened up this point as we go along. I declare that you are welcome to interrupt.
Okay.
Me. But I have purpose.
I tried before and you stopped, but.
Okay. Well, next time I won't stop. But I have purpose and destiny. I'm destined to open up to life and love. And it got me thinking about all the trim healthy mamas, all the trim healthy papas and their children.
Yeah.
the papa bear, mama bear and baby bears.
I love Bernstein bears.
Yeah. Is our door flung wide to let health waltz right in? Or is it just open a crack because it's jammed in the hinges with complaining about budget and complaining about hating stevia and complaining about all the billion allergies that we might have? Is it rusty in the old hinges because of negativity and mindsets of your health being stuck, like thoughts of sickness instead of imaginations of healing? And a mind of faith. Is your door to wellness and wholeness? Has it grown a hedge of thorns and briars in the doorway of bitterness, unforgiveness, negative, despondent
doubt,
outlook?
Doubt of thorns.
Yes. Self-hatred, hatred of others, or maybe fear. Mm. The door is blocked to health. With not just junk food, but junk thoughts.
Oh, man.
And Pearl, you've shared about the vagus nerve over and over. I love your research about the vagus nerve. And, I mean, it's the vagus nerve is in charge, really, of anti-aging, of
immune system.
Yeah, of the immune system, of us really thriving. If our vagus nerve is running right, we are opened up to health full swing.
Yes.
But you know what opens up the vagus nerve? What Pearl has shared with us all here is to be, when you're open to love, when you're open to love and be loved, your vagus nerve runs right. So is our door to love shut because it's open to fear?
Or is it our door to love shut because we're scared of getting hurt?
Right. Because is our door to love shut because we kept the door open to the past instead of a door open to the future?
Yeah.
You know, because we're a door no matter what. And sometimes we slam it to the future because we're just keeping the past open.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect love casts out all fear. And fear is attached to the past because of this experience. Because of all of that, I can't move on, you know. So feel free, Pearl. But are you flung wide to joy or slammed shut to it by a fat gate of depression that is pinning your door to joy shut?
This is, no, this yeah. is, I'm just like, Danny, you know, and sometimes we bring stuff and we're like, Danny, say something. And he's like, no. I'm letting you go. I'm about to open you up. It's good because I'm, you know, I haven't heard you say this before and it's just, things are going off in my head. Like I just decided then and there, I am flinging myself wide open to healing. The rest of my life, I can imagine myself as a door with it so wide and bring the healing on. It's such a good visual analogy.
Isn't that interesting?
Right.
You cannot be a wall.
But we need pictures in our heads.
You're right.
And I didn't have this one, and now I do.
And I'm about to bring you to the microphone here in a second. I'm setting you up. Okay. I love to sing. I've always loved to sing. And I've always sung around the house, and I've loved to worship and praise. That's just me. I've always loved it. But life and the cray-cray and the busyness has kind of eaten up that habit, and I hate that. But I've noticed that when I I'm not purposeful about keeping that habit around, I'm actually less productive, even though I think, oh, it's too crazy. I can't, you know, put the praise on. I can't sing along here. Or I can't take a moment to pick up my guitar or whatever. I'm like, I'm actually less productive. I'm more of a complaining, overwhelmed individual. Mm. I'm a meanie. I'm not even that nice around the house. But I find when I open myself up to praise, even when it's a tough day, I open myself up to happiness and to life. And Pearl, you were actually sharing with me the other day how we were all created to praise.
Yes.
All of us. And you were talking about nature. Can you share a little bit about that? Because praise is a door. And we're meant to be this door. And I think we open it. I think a lot of us just can't go around, and I find myself doing this. We go around complaining, you know, this is that and that and that, and I just stubbed my toe and blah, 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 blah. But if we praise and if we rejoice, that's when we keep the right door open.
Yes.
Because in the Bible it says praise, it's called the gate. It's called the gates of praise, right?
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Anyway, continue, Pearl, with that whole thing you were telling me the other day about whole nature.
Some people
praising.
Listening might even know more about it than I do, but I've been looking into quantum physics lately because it's just a fascinating subject. And, you know, quantum physics is the actual literal science of what we can't see, hear, smell. But it's absolutely true. It's just beyond what our senses can pick up. So things are going on right now. Like I'm picking up, you know, this cushion here, and I might think, but that's just a cushion. It's not moving unless I move it. Wrong. It's actually vibrating in every part. Everything that you can touch, feel is actually vibrating and have movement. But now scientists have found everything in nature, everything that God created is also singing. No, what? No, you think, goosebumps. Hold on, that's woo-woo. No, it's singing. Actually, a renowned, and I wrote it down, but I don't have it here because you put me on the spot, Serene, quantum physicist, you know, has understood this and they can pick up on certain things. And he said...
With their certain
devices, radars and things that they test. And he said, so nature is constantly making music and singing. We just can't figure out what the songs are yet, but it's in melodies and it's in all of these intricate things.
But isn't in that you the know, Bible?
Like, yes. Well, that's right. I mean, I've read all my life, like in the Psalms where David would say, sing ye hills and, you know, trees of the field, clap your hands and make music to the Lord. And I thought, well, what a lovely analogy.
Like
you know,
rocks cry out.
Yeah, all those things. No, like the ancient scriptures got it right more than we could ever know. Now science is catching up. No, things are singing. I mean, and, you know, John, you've even showed us before how, you know, sand makes patterns with certain music and things like that. The whole universe is so much more than we know it. And we have a choice to sing or not, but nature is singing.
Right.
When when Serene brought this topic up, the immediate thing I thought of was just that, was you were talking about we're all doors that can be opened up. And I just thought that there, or put another way, we're all light. We're all frequency. We're all vibrating.
Right.
And when you've heard, and it gets, some of this has been hijacked by, you know, new age stuff. But when you hear people refer to, you know, to raise your frequency, to just be at a higher, more positive frequency than the lower frequencies, I think that would be akin to opening, you know, if opening your door and just being, you know, be that open door, be that being that vibrates at a higher frequency that allows light and shines the because light is just frequency. Light is just frequency in motion. And so if you're vibrating at a higher frequency, if you're thinking at a higher frequency, if your heart is at a higher frequency, then you are shining light.
It's so true, John. And you know, you say that, and it's been sort of hijacked by the new ages and stuff, but it's not. New ages might claim it, but it's old age stuff.
It is.
It's more ancient.
I mean, and I think the deeper, it's certainly with me, the deeper into any subject that you go, you it doesn't take long to realize that it's already been discovered and found out and known. This knowledge predates so many things. It's all old knowledge. I believe that in modern times there's just been an incredible amount of darker forces occulting that knowledge and pressing it down so that people don't have. So, you know, I believe there was once a time when life, humans, and everything existed very differently, and it had to have been more positive because
I think since the fall of man we've been pretty messed up. but I know that what you're saying, John, is that we were designed for higher frequency.
Yeah.
Yes.
We were designed for it, but we fell. But I believe we're to be called back to it because we've been redeemed, and we are a door, but there's also a doorway being opened to us.
Yeah. We haven't just fallen though. We're also being held down, you know, by lots of things. There's lots of things that are holding down our health, are holding down our mental states, are holding down just our being. And that's just, you know, one of the realities of modern life. You know, there's a lot of things right now that are messing with frequencies and vibrations, and, you know, Pearl,
right,
you mentioned.
But what Serena's saying is there is another, like all of that, that's very true. Okay, I agree. I mean, mess ups. But there is a door that we can swing open. I think that she's talking about, like even in the verse in the Bible says, my thoughts are higher than yours, my ways are higher, that we can swing open and I think allow.
It's a spiritual door that is above all of the mess ups of the world. You know what I mean? The physical, like broken. I just feel like when we open ourselves up to love, to perfect love, which is Christ, which I believe that frequency then just destroys all of the junk.
You know, it's interesting. I've one of the subjects I too, Pearl, have always been a huge fan of quantum physics, and you get into quantum physics and sacred geometry, which is another subject that is just near and dear to my heart. When you get into sacred geometry and some of these patterns that are in nature, like the Fibonacci spiral, and you see it in shells and plants and all of that. There is sacred geometry terms, and some of these terms go back so far. One of the higher forms of consciousness is actually referred to as Christ consciousness in sacred geometry.
I cannot say that I've ever heard, I'm looking up right now, sacred geometry.
Yeah,
although I do know is that the Bible is filled with mathematics, layer upon layer.
If anyone would love a wonderful and quite frankly beautiful journey down, I wouldn't even call it a rabbit hole. It's just another path of knowledge. Look into sacred geometry and
path
see
of
how
knowledge that aligns with the Bible. Does it?
It is. It's creation. It's God. It's nature.
Yeah. It's Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Some of the art that is created through sacred geometry is just jaw-droppingly beautiful. Wow. And it's all naturally created. It's a natural thing. So anyways,
amazing.
That's really interesting. Well, now I've got some books to read. Thank you, John. Sacred geometry. We'll look into it. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
It's just been this little musing of my mind this week that we are all doors, and it made me think about what Pearl had been sharing to me, because the first thing that I'm going to do personally, because I like to be practical and bring it down to the practical, how to fling wide my door to joy, to overcoming, to healing, to me, is I'm going to pick up and be purposeful about my habit of praise.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you're not even musical. Maybe it's just praise in your talking, thankfulness, and because it's a door. And Pearl, I think it's just amazing.
I'm thinking of the scripture, and I always forget it. You know, sometimes I go around, I'm such a forgetter, but I don't want that to be my identity. Look at me claiming it over my life. Look at me, I'm a forgetter. But I don't want that to be my identity, so maybe I'm a rememberer.
Yes, you are.
I'm a rememberer, and I want to remember the scripture. And not forget it so much. And remember it more.
Can you recall it right now?
Yeah.
Good.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yes.
So when I feel heavy, and oftentimes I do sometimes, I just got to put on the garment of praise and then lift up your voice to God, it says. There is the thing right then. That I love the Bible story, and we've figured some stuff out recently. It's, you know, remember we did the potty of the puts. You put off one thing.
Yes.
And then you put on another.
Yeah.
So put off the spirit of heaviness. Yeah. Put on the garment of praise.
And I love it because we have a choice. Now, you said nature praises. I love that. I even saw this one creation DVD, and it was about all these planets. There's one planet far, 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 far away, and they found out it puts off this incredible drumbeat.
Yeah.
Why? Well, and it's not for anyone to hear on earth. Mm-hmm. It's just because it's praising.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, but we have the choice. What an incredible thing when we actually are given the choice to praise.
Yes.
And that's when it's a sacrifice of praise, right? When we actually, even if we don't feel like it and we're tired and we're exhausted, we sacrifice to praise. But actually we get in return, we get strength, because joy is strength.
It's pretty incredible. You know, I was thinking about this whole door thing that's sort of, I process things, and I, you know, oftentimes when you come here, you tell me about what you maybe going to bring beforehand, and then I have things to add. So I'm sort of processing as we go here. But I was thinking, you know, the things that you said are encumbering the door from flinging wide open, and you said, you know, what is stopping your door from flinging wide open to health or to happiness or to joy? It's something else in the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't open a door if something's in the way. So I want to get these things out. And you know, Serena, I've sat here and we've both talked about our journeys, about coming out of fear. You know, I used to be so in fear of all the things that my body could get, the physical ailments that keep me up at night. And I was so worried about getting diseases. And I realized I had to put that off my mindset and put on God's thoughts about these things. And He's healer and all these things. I've learned to renew my mind.
Right.
But you know how there's that scripture in the Bible that says the devil goes about like a roaring lion consuming all that he may devour?
Yeah.
I think he just got in a little way with me, but thankfully I've been able to cut it off.
Yeah.
Like all that fear that I had stopped thinking about with all the physical things, lately I had realized, I just said to my husband yesterday, I traded one fear and I've started putting on another, right? I'm going to stop it right now.
Yeah.
My new fear was, because I had nothing else to fear about.
That's hilarious.
Oh, now all my children are getting married. I'm gonna think about their relationships all the time and worry about every little detail. Oh, I watched my son do that. He shouldn't do that. Maybe they're going to lose their marriage over that. If he says that one more time, oh no, that's going to be terrible for their marriage. And I'm like, honey, he shouldn't do that. And that person should do this. And oh, are you concerned about their marriage? Did you see? They weren't hugging one another last night. Oh my goodness. And so now I've got this whole, I've just been like, it kept me up at night.
That's hilarious.
Concerned
isn't
for
it?
Each one of my children's marriages.
How you put off, you get rid of a fear.
Yeah.
And unless you put on something positive, you're just going to put on another fear.
Yes, so now I've realized it, thank the Lord, and I didn't go months and months doing this. It's just been the last month or so, and I was really, I couldn't even sleep from it. It was ridiculous. And but it was preventing my door from flinging open to joy.
Wow.
I felt that cap on my joy and like, yeah, what am I not happy about? Oh, that's right. I've got to be concerned for all my children's relationships.
You know, people
because
think,
you know 50% of people get divorced, so which ones are it going to be? Oh, I mean, just these thoughts from Satan, yeah. You know?
You know, it's funny because most people think sin is like something like a thief or a murderer or an adulterer or blah, 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 blah. But sin can be fear. Sin can. And do you know what? It's so interesting because we're talking about doors and what's encumbering in the way of this door flinging wide open to joy. Just remember that verse, sin is crouching at the door, right? Yeah. We have to get it out of the door, like get it away from the door because our doors need to be able to fling wide.
Yeah, because I'm going to fling my door open wide to joy. I'm going to fling it open wide to health. I'm going to fling it open to full love in my relationships, nothing held back for fear of past or getting hurt or.
And when we realize, just the realization that we are a door realizes, okay, we're going to be a door no matter what. So am I open up to hate or am I open up to love? Am I open up to the future or am I just open up looking deadpan the past it's just bam in my headlights. You know, it's never just a wall.
We're opening up to something, either
negative or positive. And so that becomes a challenge to us then daily, doesn't it? Like, what am I opening up today? Am I opening up to my marriage or am I actually closing off?
Ooh.
Am I opening up to divorce? Not really. I'm not even going there for me personally. But if we're not opening up to more depth in our relationship, we're closing off. And we're opening up to something else. And it's just what always
some days I can have the really stupidest little piddly, selfish, really stupid thoughts of, this morning I don't think I'm going to open up to my I'm not going to give my full love to my marriage today, just maybe because
he wore the wrong shirt.
Yeah, he wore the wrong shirt. Or maybe he snapped at me yesterday or did something I didn't like. So today, no, I'm just, it's just my nature, right? It's sometimes, and then I have to get myself right. I don't think I'm going to just love to the fullest of my extent today. Maybe if I hold a little bit back, he'll learn a good lesson. You know, that's not opening up fully, is it?
Yeah, right. And just the realization when you're not opening up fully to love, you're opening up.
Oh, you're opening up to junk.
To junk. You're never Switzerland.
Yeah.
You're just never a Switzerland wall.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, I've got a question that came in. Doesn't say my name. It says, all right, I'd love to know more about kombucha. It's featured in a few THM recipes, but you haven't said much about the drink itself. Is it truly the superfood drink it's hyped up to be? What are the benefits and what do I have to be careful of? I don't know your name because it's just here, but I don't have a name, so I'm sorry, but we will answer your question. So kombucha, it definitely can be on the Trim Healthy Mama plan with some caveats. Is that the right word, John?
That's a good word, Pearl.
Yeah. Means you need to think about what you're doing. You don't just guzzle kombucha all day. But maybe if you were a really thin rail person and your blood sugar did okay with it, maybe you could. But I think kombucha is more of a medicinal drink that you can just take in small doses. If it does have some sugar because it started out with sugar and this gets fermented and cultured, but in the end there is a little bit left. Serene, you want to put in your two cents?
Yes. I find that, you know, if you read most of the kombucha labels on the back, it will say, some of them say around 14 to 16 grams of carbs for two servings.
Yeah.
Now, so that's getting closer.
That's
the
higher
too.
End. Yeah. On the lower end, you can get them about 7 grams of carbs for one serving.
Well, that would be Kavita, I think. Like
no,
the,
I've seen the some kombuchas, but it's,
That's on the rarer side. You'd have to look and find.
But all we're saying with that is, so that's going into your bloodstream. So because it's a liquid, you probably have stuff to say about this, John, too. But so if you're going to have some with your S meals, just stick to half a cup. You could drink more, you know, just as a drink on its own or with an E-meal. But if you're going to put it with a bunch of fat, remember you are rising your blood sugar a little bit. So just
I see it to me. Like if I have an E-meal, I'm not even going to worry at all. Yeah. I'm going to guzzle 3/4 of the cup.
The drink. Yeah, the
bottle. But if I'm having an S meal, I have no problems with taking a couple of tablespoons, like a few swigs before dinner or after dinner, as a wonderful probiotic to just help digest the food.
Now, obviously, kombucha is good for your gut, right?
And it actually decreases the survival of cancer cells. It's a wonderful people. It really got famous for fighting cancer.
John, what do you have to say? Because you're right there. You're a kombucha nut.
Yeah, I actually make my own kombucha.
Of course you do.
On a daily basis. Serene said the magic word as far as I'm concerned. It's probiotic. So what's actually happening is you have a SCOBY, which is a symbiotic culture of bacteria. Mm-hmm. That's what SCOBY stands for. That sits on top of what is happening is this culture of bacteria is feeding off
and yeast,
of the sugar.
Is that would be the Y at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, bacteria and yeast.
Bacterial yeast. The yeast is the bacteria.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But the bacteria is eating the sugar. It's basically fermented sweet tea. And it's eating the sugar, it's feeding off of the sugar and growing. And when it does that, it'll grow so that it basically seals off the container and it creates kind of like an airtight ecosystem under the water, under the
tea.
And the byproduct of that bacterial yeast eating that sugar is the probiotic.
Right.
So when you see kombucha, you'll see strands in there, kind of that look like hairs.
Yeah,
that's all good
stuff. Okay, but John, I have to ask you this question because I'm a bit of a fair weather kombucha person. I'm not like a diehard fan. I just go, if I go to Whole Foods, I'll grab one as a treat, right? But I don't make it. Now, you've made it for all these years. Mm-hmm. Seems to me like you would have stopped if it didn't give you health benefits. Do you notice that it does?
Well, I have always struggled my entire life with gut issues.
Yeah.
And it took a long time to figure out what it was. I was told early on that I had ulcers and gastritis, which was not true. Then I thought maybe it might have been dairy related, which it was, but it was pasteurized dairy related.
Yeah.
I can actually do raw dairy and it doesn't, but really my gut flora was just completely out of whack because I spent most of my life not even knowing that it existed, let alone knowing how to take care of it. So I use kombucha to just, that's one of my main sources of just probiotic, just keeping my gut healthy. Plus I really like it. I drink kombucha the same way that people abuse sodas.
And you can, because you're just like a thin, trim man. And I think that he can not have to worry about holding back on.
But I do. Quantity. Pearl touched on the sugar aspect and kombucha, like anything, kombucha's gotten very trendy over the last several years. And so there's all types of kombucha out there. And some of the kombucha that is on the shelves has got a lot of sugar in it.
You can taste it.
Yeah. Like
you can taste that it's sweet.
Yeah. And so you really need to, you know, if you're going to use kombucha functionally, I kind of do half. I use it functionally, but I also just enjoy it too.
Right.
So if you're going to use it a lot, be aware of the sugar content because at the end of the day, kombucha is formed by this yeast bacteria eating
sugar. Does yours taste less sugary? I've never had yours.
I do a second fermentation.
Oh, good old second ferment, like Serene's.
And that's when I can add in flavors and stuff and put in I love ginger, love cucumber. Mm-hmm. Cucumber and cantaloupe, like cucumber melon together. Wow.
So a double fermented kombucha, like a double fermented kefir, Serene.
Sounds amazing. Mm. And John, not only that fact that it puts the good bacteria in, but it actually kills bad bacteria in a way that's incredible. They say that kombucha prevents infections, like people that suffer with chronic infections. It actually gets rid of the bacteria before it can form any danger to the body.
And I'm pretty sure the way it's doing that is it's actually eating that bad bacteria because a lot of times that bad bacteria is also feeding on the sugars in our bodies, you know, like candida yeast feeds on sugar. And so kombucha would actually feed on candida yeast, you know what I mean? Cause it's trying to survive too.
Right.
So I think that's where the combating the bad stuff comes in. It's actually eating it.
Right. And there's a strong link between depression and inflammation in the body.
Yeah.
And kombucha fights inflammation. So, you know.
So do you think her question was, do you really think it's, you know, all it's touted to be so many things? Do you really think it is all that?
I mean, I personally do in a way that like John Gusty is saying, if you have a disease and things like that, yeah. you want to double ferment it, you want to see this as part of your medicinal protocol, great. But if it's just something you're picking up at Whole Foods and it's quite a sweet one, I would just see it as a healthy treat.
Yeah, right. And it's a fun treat. Now, I do want to talk about the natural CO2. You know how kombucha gets a bit bubbly? Is that, John, that's the is that natural CO2 forming? Because we need to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, that is the bacteria processing. I mean,
and it makes bubbles.
Yeah,
it causes CO2.
Correct.
Right, because some people say, "Well, never drink sparkling water." You know, I mean, you know, it raises your insulin levels, or it does this or that. But CO2 is just CO2. It does nothing to your blood sugar.
No, it's found in nature. The springs,
yeah, obviously, and it's found naturally in kombucha. That's a natural process.
Yeah, yeah, it's just the bacteria expelling that CO2.
Yes.
A poop.
It's the fluffing. They're farting.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I don't usually say that word, but some people relate to that more.
They relate to
it. Yeah, I mean, yes. I guess technically, yeah, that's what's happening, but the, like I said, the SCOBY forms over the top of the tea, and it forms a seal. So all that's happening underneath the seal, so it's naturally
carbonating.
Well, you see, when you seal it, you see, is when you get that wonderful Schweppes. So if I want to be revolting like my sister and use the word fart, oh, I can hardly do it.
I know, we weren't allowed to say it growing up, Sue.
If you want to allow your kefir to fart.
No, you
need
kombucha.
To double ferment it. Oh. No, because I'm saying I love a Schweppy kefir. And that's why I double ferment it, not just because it eats the last bit of sugar, but because I'm at goal weight, I'm nearly not concerned about that so much because I can cross over a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about it mainly because I want the farty taste.
Farty taste. Now that's a new
Lord
thing.
Jesus, forgive me and mommy, forgive me, and I'll never use the word F-A-R-T again.
And Danny, you know how he's all like, it's particularly crispy. Now he could say it's particularly farty.
I'm surprised that there's not a Topo brand Chico. Name kombucha called Kempucha.
Yeah.
Pooch.
Oh, pooch. Oh, but we don't want the pooch, but we want the poof.
Poo. Poo.
Oh, because it helps you poop. Does it help you poop,
no,
John?
No. I was going on the gas and the farting.
Oh, yes.
Never mind.
But usually when I'm gassy, I'm not poopy.
You know. When I'm gassy, I want to be poopy.
Yeah, but it's not coming, and that's why it's
gassy.
Okay,
we're putting people off. They're eating their breakfast.
I know, and then they won't even enjoy the meatball that we served them because now they're like,
they want to throw the meatball up that we served earlier. Yes. The good meat. Now, like, they have to hear all this. It's a good way to end the show. People forgive us. They're so used to this. It's just weird that we're the sisters that are a bit crass.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.